Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
If you are mature, you are bound in thanksgiving. It's the road or the pathway toward maturity in Christ. And ingratitude is a very, very dangerous thing, because it leads to a road fraught with carnality, a road that is fraught with lasciviousness, licentiousness, and a flagrant attitude that does not regard God, his person, nor his doings. But that attitude in the person has a very lethal effect of taking you off the path of acknowledgement of the Lord. The Greek or the Hebrew tauda, some translations say this about it, that it literally is an acknowledgement of another. So when you say thank you to another, what you're doing, you're saying within myself, I am not altogether resourceful. I need another to make me who I am, or to get to where I'm going, or to get the resources I need to me. The person that says thank you to men or to God says, I am humble. The humble thank God. The prideful position is this: I don't need to acknowledge. Again, the Hebrew word tauda, translated thanksgiving, literally means, like I said, to shoot, to confess, but the core meaning means to stop and acknowledge another. It's an acknowledgement that without God, you are going nowhere very, very fast. And this is what today is. Today is an Ebenezer moment. We're saying, like Samuel, hitherto has the Lord helped us. Up to this point in our journey, it has been the Lord and his doings graciously among us. This is very, very important. The scripture says that God gives grace to the humble, but that he will resist the proud. Listen carefully. Grace attends humility, but pride repels grace. The landing spot for grace is a humble heart. God looks for a place to deposit grace, but he requires a context. That context is humility. If then, when you say thank you to another, it expresses your humility, guess what thanksgiving then does? What does thanksgiving recruit unto you? Grace, not so? Thanksgiving will recruit grace unto you because you've stopped to acknowledge that God is the source of your help, the source of your existence, the source of your success. It's a very, very important disposition. Now you might think, Randolph, this is light, this is elementary. No, it's not. You know what I've seen over time is when people are desperate, they are, and God comes through in the incipient stages of their rescue. You are in the doldrums, in the vortex of some major calamity. And as you cried unto the Lord and he answered you, and you begin to exit from out of that experience, there are initial expressions of thanksgiving. But as time goes on, the person wanes and forgets the goodness of the Lord. That's why songs like We Will Remember are very important to me. Because David often said it in the Psalms, I will not forget what the Lord has done for me. There are, I think, three, to my knowledge, historical Psalms in the book of Psalms where the Psalm writer, one was Moses, others Asaph and David, three of them, wrote a fairly long Psalm recounting God's gracious dealings with Israel. Right from the Exodus, they would painstakingly list the journey. Intermittently, after every four or five verses, all the psalmists would say, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness toward us. David would say, oh, that men would praise him. Oh, that men would glorify him for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I want to encourage you, as time passes on, and God has done something majorly good for you, major deliverance, major come through, major intervention, Never ever allow the passage of time to cause amnesia to your mind. And you come at this point and you forget that you would have been, you would have died, right? Your life could have ended. For some of us, our marriages would have been in deep trouble. We would have lost wife. We would have lost husband. We would have lost children if it wasn't for the direct intervention of the Lord. So tell someone, we will never forget what he's done. This is very, very, very important. You know why? You can start off thankful as a disposition of your humility to which grace is attracted. Now that you've got grace that enables you and empowers you to do what God has called you to do, you go on along that path and ingratitude sets in. Ingratitude is not something innocuous. It's not innocent. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, I think it is. In fact, the book of Romans is that long passage in Romans that speaks to how men have degraded. Same-sex relationships, for example. And if you read the text here, it says men, the preceding verses before this, men have left the, or women have left the natural use of the men and sought for other women, and the men likewise. And it says they become vain in their imaginations. And it says this. Later on, it would say that they are worthy of death, and so is everyone that approves of them. It's not just them, but everyone that condones them. And then Romans chapter 1 is a very important chapter in the Bible because it speaks to the depths of degradation man can go to, even to bestiality. And then this verse pops up in the middle of this long discourse that Paul gives. He says this, they exchanged the truth for a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at verse 20. I'm looking for the verse that says, for when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Just go on the next verse. I just forget where the verse is. Yes, this one. For even though they knew God, these people, they knew God. Everyone say they knew him. So there was a time where there was a knowledge of God, but they did not glorify or honor him as God. Very dangerous to start off in a place called knowing God, but not honoring him as God. When you say thank you, you're saying, I know you, but I'm not taking nothing for granted. I'm going to honor you as God. Okay? I'm going to glorify you as God. And then it says, did not honor him as God, nor gave him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Can you see where the degradation starts? Everything starts with the disposition of ingratitude. You see the wickedness in the world today? This verse tells me plainly, everything started through ingratitude. When they knew him, did not glorify him as God, and neither were they thankful. Tell your neighbor, don't lose your thanks. Come on, don't lose your disposition of gratitude towards the Lord. It's your safety. It's that position to which grace is attracted. But you see, when you say, I can walk pompously, arrogantly, and say, by my hand, I have gotten where I am. By my dealings, by my ingenuity, my wisdom has got me here. That's very dangerous ground. Not only are you not acknowledging God, what you are doing, you're opening the door for wholesale wickedness to have its way with you when you don't acknowledge who God is. Tell someone, honor him as God. This is very important. You honor him as God. Okay? It's seriously important. You know why grace is attracted to thanksgiving? You know, interestingly, before I go there, interestingly, the Greek word for grace is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. The Greek word for thanks is eucharis, or eucharistio. In Catholicism, they refer to the emblems, the body and the blood of the Lord, as well, especially the wafer or the bread, as the eucharist, okay, the eucharist. When Jesus took the emblems, the Bible says he blessed it. In other words, he transmitted grace into the emblems. Right? And they are symbolic, but they are the agency through which grace can be transmitted. Okay? So it's no coincidence, for example, that if grace, the Greek word charis, and thanksgiving, eucharis, or eucharistio, there is a direct correlation between grace content and a thankful heart. Grace attends thanksgiving. Grace attends the grateful. The grateful heart is the graceful heart. Without grace, without gratitude, you will not get grace. Okay? Without gratitude, there's no grace reception. In fact, many scriptures in the Bible often translate these interchangeably. For example, in Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is Luke, round about verse, just look from verse 27 or verse 28. I'm way off my notes here, but I just need to say a few things. It says that how everything is going to be shaken. I'm going to shake the heavens, I'm going to shake the earth. Okay? And at verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving, is the correct tense, it's a continuously evolving reality, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, what must we have? Let us show, everyone say gratitude. Let us show gratitude by which, by gratitude, we might offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. So this text speaks about global destabilization. God's going to shake every system in the earth and everything in the heaven with one thing in mind, that the things which can be shaken must be removed, that those things which cannot be shaken remain, right? And then it says, seeing. Everyone say since. Old King James is seeing that, okay? In other words, seeing that these things are going to take place, what should our position be? Where should we be strong in? It says, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Listen carefully. When God shakes the heavens and the earth, there's something that cannot be shaken. It's called the kingdom of God. Tell neighbor, you're unshakable. If you're in the kingdom, you're unshakable. Let me just say this to you. There will be economic destabilization going forward, that I know, globally. The last credit crunch will pale in insignificance with what the world is still yet to experience. It will not be the devil's doing. It will be God's ordering. He's going to shake things. He will shake things climatologically, economically, geomorphologically, educationally, religiously, medically. In every sector, God's going to shake every system. Right? But we are in the world, but not of the world. But we're in the world. We're in the something called the kingdom of God, which while everything around it is shaking, it remains consistently stable. So you can be in the world, not of the world, in the kingdom. The world is shaking. The kingdom is not shaking. The world is shaking financially, but you can be in a shaken financial system in the world, but be unshaken financially because of where you are. It's called the kingdom of God. Right? But this verse says, seeing that. Please say this after me, seeing that. Say as this verse says, since. If that is the prophetic view of the scripture, that you in the kingdom will never be shaken, what should your position be? Everyone say gratitude. Come on, say it loud, gratitude. Gratitude. I am thankful even before the shaking starts that when things get shaken, I will not be. You will not be destabilized. Your home, your business, your life, your kids will not know the destabilization that the world is experiencing. That alone, from my knowledge of Scripture, is something for me to excel in gratitude for. You see, typically, God does something and the person responds with gratitude. This verse says, no, God's still going to do something. There's going to be a shaking, rattling, and rolling. Right? It's going to happen. This verse says, prophetically position yourself even before that happens and make sure there's something you master. It is called Gratitude. Amen? Come on, I'm not even sure this morning every one of us are intensely grateful. Amen? I met some friends last month or so ago, and he was saying he doesn't want to have children because of the way the world is going. He's afraid to bring children into the world. You were surprised I have four. I said, my view is different. I know the world's a bad place, and there's shaking all over, so to speak, but we are in the kingdom of God, and our kids will be safe. Tell someone, your family has a bright future. Bronwyn, you're right here in front. You have a bright future. I want to encourage you when things are shaking around you. Girl, you stand. Because you're not of the world, you are in the kingdom of God. But what should it well up in you? Gratitude, okay? Look at the same passage in the, let's say the King James. It doesn't say gratitude. What does it say? Let us have what? Grace. You see, grace, same Greek word, charis. In some places, it's translated grace, and in others, gratitude. Grace is the context. I mean, even the Greek scholar James Strong said this about charis when he explained it. He said, when it's, he described it variously. He said, it's the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. God, there's an influence on you and how that grace in you transforms you, affects you, and that transformation becomes reflected in the life. People look at your life and they say, wow, grace has been present. Who's been changed by the grace of God, yeah? Yeah? So God influenced your heart, and that influence on your heart becomes reflected in the life. Then James Strong said this. He said, when it's received, it does two things to the recipient. It causes overwhelming joy. Yeah? Hallelujah? You can't tell me you're full of grace and you are sad. Grace overwhelms it, great joy. But then he said this, it's inspires in the recipient intense gratitude because the recipient knows that he wasn't deserving in the first place and that the work of grace has got nothing to do with himself. Right? It's full of grace. I want to encourage you, like I did last week, when the one leper came back to give thanks to the Lord, Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. He turned back when he saw that he was healed, not cleansed. He saw that he was healed. The loud voice he gave God thanks. Jesus said, go thy way, your faith has made you whole. So he went from cleansing to healing to wholeness. I don't know what he saw, but this guy obviously saw something. Because he saw cleansed, he was cleansed, but he saw healing. And I believe it was a faith position. It was a faith position. I believe thanksgiving already was present in his heart. But you see, the others went away ungrateful, and they all stopped at cleansing. The one who came back to say thank you went from cleansing to healing to wholeness. In other words, grace attended him. More grace came to that one leper than to the other nine. The other nine were grace deficient. But the one who came back with a loud voice to give God thanks, grace's fullest intended work had its most complete effect within the life of this one who came to give thanks. My prayer is that our ministry here, Gate Ministries, Durban Central, will be a ministry full of grace. But there must never be registered concerning you any time in your life that, wow, he, she, or that family, or that boy, that girl, has come to a place of ungratefulness. To not be grateful is to not acknowledge. Huh? Thanksgiving is offered in gratitude for what he's done or for who the person is. And if ever you get to that position, like I remember we did the case study of King Uzziah, remember? He was strong, God was with him, and God prospered him. The moment he thought he was strong in his own eyes, that signaled the start of his demise. He went on a downward spiral from that point. I want to encourage you, Never think it's all you and not God. But listen carefully. Say it again. Say it loud. Grace. Grace is what we're after. And thanksgiving is a fitting response to what the work of grace past and is necessary position for all that grace will do in the future for you. And I'm saying, give grace a context to work in. It's a grateful heart. Give grace room to maneuver. Give grace a chance to have its fullest intended work in you. Don't impede it. Don't stop it. Don't stifle it through ingratitude. Because ingratitude will lead you down a path of degradation. But gratitude opens up the path of grace reception to a place called wholeness or fullness in God. Do not wait for the shaking to start for you to catch this revelation. This is a warning. Do not wait for the shaking to start. This verse is preparatory before the shaking. It says, seeing that these things will be, let us have grace or gratitude by which we might serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Everyone say reverence and godly fear. Now, I don't want to take up too much time because we still need you to see that video, right? In Isaiah 51 and verse 3, let me just, in 10 minutes, try and convey what's on my heart. I'm only starting to preach now. All of that was, I think, spontaneous of the Lord. But I think it was the Spirit of the Lord, prophetic for us and for the house. Okay. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. And the wilderness, he will make it like Eden, and a desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of a melody. Now, this passage is prophetic of a restored Zion. Zion is depictive of the church, you and I. We are the new Jerusalem, the Zion of God. But you have come to Zion, the church of the firstborn. So we are Zion. And this verse is, listen carefully, this is a prophetic word to you. God will comfort you. God will comfort Zion. Comfort her waste places. And make her wilderness experiences like the Garden of Eden. Lush, productive, growing, serene place to be in. Okay? A desert like the Garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the sound of a melody. Listen carefully. Thanksgiving will be found in her and the sound of a melody. Thanksgiving must be heard. It's the sound of a melody. But it's in response to what the Lord will do in a place called wasteland, desert, aridness, things not going well for you. I'm here to tell you prophetically, I know that the Lord is going to turn things. And where you found it very difficult to give thanks to the Lord, for whatever reason, God is saying the sound of your house is about to change. The sound of your spirit is about to change. The sound of your soul is about to change. The sound of your conversation is about to change. It will change away from complaining to thanksgiving. Do you know what the most serious opposition to thanksgiving is? A complaining spirit. A spirit of complaint, finding fault with everybody. And yet there's so much good reason for which to give God thanks. Everyone say the sound of a melody. And a melodious sound is something pleasant to the ears. It revives, it encourages. But what I want to encourage us today, we can do it in a moment, is to give thanks to the Lord prophetically for what he's about to do. In the midst of global destabilization, we are saying, seeing that all these things will happen, God, you're going to restore our wasteland. The sound of my house is changing. Right? The sound of fabric of my spirit is changing, and I am going to give you thanks with prophetic foresight. Like the one leper, when he saw that he was healed, although cleansed, he saw something deeper, and he came back to give God thanks. Tell somebody, see something deeper. See something deeper. Come on, tell it to another person. See something deeper. I'm saying to you, there's more than meets the eye. God is doing far more than you think. God cleansed him, but he saw healing. And he came back to give thanks. And God said, because you responded not to what I overtly done, but what prophetically I would do in your life, now I take you to wholeness. It's all about sight. It's all about what do you see. I see myself on a couch with about 10 grandchildren. Yes. Follow my eyes. I'm looking to a place where I'm rich in God. Let's say 12. Make it apostolic. I can't wait for the day when Renee now on some couch somewhere and these 12 little Barneys come running around. Yeah, daddy. Wherever your husband's surname will be. Yeah, you included as well. Come and papa, dada, whatever they will call us back then. And I want to be like the verse I shared with you on the church WhatsApp group in the week. One morning I got up and I read, this was after the prayer meeting. We had a phenomenal prayer meeting here in the week. We read through several passages and we prayed through them. And that spirit was in me. I got up the next morning and I read through Hebrews the next morning. It was Wednesday morning, Hebrews 11 aloud. And I stopped at the verse which says, Jacob, being old and about to die, leaning on his staff, worshiped God. And prophesied over his sons. He, you know, the just shall live by faith. Yes, someone dying in faith. It says leaning on his staff, by faith, leaning on his staff, about to die, prophesied over his kids. Now, you might say, Randolph, you're going off the topic now. No, I'm just trying to demonstrate to you what I see. I see something in my future. And I'm not waiting for that point to when we're there rich with kids and grandkids. I want to even see the fourth generation, by the way. Hallelujah. And I'm saying, God, I look to that position. I don't have a bleak perspective of life. I envisage long life for myself and a good posterity. So now I give God thanks based upon what I see. Look at this verse in Psalm 57 verse 8 and 9, quickly. Psalm 57 verse 8 and 9 says, awake my glory, awake harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. He says, I will give thanks. But the previous verse, what does he say? He says this, awake my glory, awake harp, awake lyre, I will awaken the dawn. The dawn is a brand new day. The dawn is the start of a brand new phase. The dawn is the commencement of a brand new era. The psalmist says here, I activate that. What is he saying? Dawn doesn't just happen as a matter of predetermined course. Prophetically, I'm going to activate its commencement, and I will do it in the next verse. Look at verse 9. I will give thanks. I think, and time won't permit me to demonstrate this principle from other passages of Scripture. I think the power of gratitude, one of its inherent power capacities is this. It has the potential to start errors. It has, not error, not E-R-R-O-R-S, I'm talking about E-R-A-S, time periods. It has got the capacity to instinctually activate a brand new day. Tell someone, awaken the day. Some of you are waiting for the 31st of this year to catch up or to catch a wake up. No, you can awaken the dawn. Say, awaken the dawn. You know, when you read verses in scriptures, there are certain words that must catch your spirit. Like when I read that, that caught me. Awaken the dawn, Randolph. Say it again loud. Say, awaken the dawn. You can awaken the dawn, start the era by your disposition of gratitude towards the Lord. It's a very, very powerful thing. Your disposition of gratitude to the Lord awakens the dawn for you. Now, when he saw that he was healed, he came back and with a loud voice glorified God, giving him thanks. When he saw, in other words, he saw something, and his thanksgiving, when he came to Jesus, awakened the dawn for him. The dawn for that leper was something called wholeness that God led him into. What did Jesus pray before he broke the bread and he fed the 5,000? He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. I thank you that you hear me always. Listen carefully. I know I'm about to multiply this bread. The miraculous is going to flow. It's going to flow mightily. So in preparation to what I'm going to move into, Father, I thank you. He didn't have to do that, but as a son of man, he was teaching us a principle how all sons of men should live. Before you enter into the phase of multiplication, you give thanks. You awaken that phase. You awaken that dawn for you and for your family. Similarly with Lazarus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, what did he say? Father, I thank you that you hear me always. Now, listen carefully. What he would say after that is, Lazarus, come forth. Listen, the command is to somebody dead, but every command to a lifeless situation is, on the flip side, a prayer to God, on whom you rely to change the circumstance. So even when we command, come forth, be healed, life to you, it's a command authoritatively to the circumstance, but it's really a dependent prayer to God. It's flip side. It's two sides of the same reality. It's a vested thing within the person that, although I know who I am, and I can command situations by the authority of my word, but every command is a dependable prayer to my Father. Jesus, knowing that, before he engages that activity, steps back and he lifts his hand to the Lord and he says, Father, thank you that you hear me always. Now, next phase, awaken the dawn, Lazarus, which is a command to you, but a dependable prayer to my Father, whom I have just thanked, that as I command Lazarus, he will hear me. It's never about you. I know we have power. I know we have authority as the sons of God. But lest we get a big hit, lest we think of ourselves as having the power innately to us, even he was all powerful, before doing one of the most mightiest miracles for which he is known, even up to today, took a step back and he said, Father, thank you that you hear me, that you hear me always. And then the Bible says, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth with a mighty hand. Okay, he came forth with a mighty hand. Now, because of time, and I don't want to take more time, I just want to finish off with one thought that's on my heart. But I want to encourage you to give thanks expressly to the Lord for what he's about to do. What he has done, what he is still yet doing, what he will still yet do because of who he is. Okay? Because of who he is. Isaiah 38 verse 19. I'll just end with this verse because I feel this is so important. There's many other principles we could focus on. It is the living who give thanks to you, as I do this day. A father tells his sons about your faithfulness. Now, the writer here says, it is the living that gives thanks to you. Ask your neighbor, so are you alive? Just quickly look at Psalm, before I continue, Psalm 6 verse 5 says this, in death there is no remembrance of you, in the grave who will give thanks to you? So once breath leaves your mouth and you enter the grave section, Thanksgiving is impossible, according to this verse. Okay? It is the living who give thanks to you. That's what Isaiah 38, verse 1a says. Isaiah 38, verse 1 says, the living give thanks to you. In the verse we've just read, now go back to it, verse 19 of Isaiah 38, it says, it's the living who give thanks to you as I do this day. A father tells of your faithfulness. Has God been faithful? Where's that verse, perfect faithfulness? Isaiah somewhere. Is it 25:1? Just check it out. I think it's 25:1. Yeah. Oh, amazing verse. I just love this. Listen to it. Oh, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago. How? It's not just with faithfulness. It's with God's a master. Tell someone God's a master. You can't get a more genius person like our Father, our God. He's not just faithful, it's perfect faithfulness. Hallelujah. And the prophet here says, I will thank you. I will give thanks to your name. You have worked wonders, plans formed long ago. This is a realization. Watch. Every blessing I enter into was actually a plan formed long ago. Nothing is a surprise to God. Amen. And let me just say this to you prophetically. God's about to do even major things in your lives in the coming year. That I know. I will share with you my prophetic perspectives on next week's Sunday. But that I know, God's about to do significant things. But there are plans formed long ago. Last night, I think I prepared too much. Because now this Thanksgiving is going to be a book. Okay. And I was reading and going through some principles and whatnot. And then I got an email from Samuel Mina late last night from Tanzania. And he emailed me the final transcripts of the Primacy of the Word document. They've translated the whole thing into Swahili. And when I saw, I perused the document, when I saw how thorough it was, and I'm thinking, and I sat there and I think, wow, God, thank you. This guy had the vision when I was up there early in the year. He said, I will do it for you. And now it's real. The realization has come to pass. In my heart, I was grateful. But I think of verses like this, and I'm thinking, wow, these are plans formed long ago. Tell you about plans formed long ago. Just open your heart. Listen carefully. I'm saying to you, if you position yourself, the plans formed long ago are about to materialize. You now are going to walk into the destiny that God has in store for you. But what it's going to demand is a heart of gratitude to the Lord. Just close your eyes and lift your hands to Him. I'm just giving that as a testimony to spur you and to encourage you. To spur you and to encourage you in the Lord. Loving Father, we pause today very seriously. We humble our hearts before you. Declare that you are good and that your mercies are everlasting. One generation will declare your works to another. A father will declare to his son your faithfulness, as this suggests. And we, the living, will give thanks to you. And we look forward to the day of educating our sons as to the faithfulness of the Lord. You are perfectly faithful. Come on, just lift your hands and say, God, you're perfectly faithful. That's an amazing statement right there. Say, God, you are perfectly faithful. His plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. And now, Father, we dare to ask that those plans materialize in this dispensation in our day. We awaken the dawn. We awaken this new era before us with hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving to you. Everyone, just lift up your voice. Lift your hands. Say, God, I thank you for what's about to happen. I awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to the Lord for what God's about to amaze us. He's about to He's about to utterly amaze us. God will not forget your faithfulness. God will not forget your diligence. God will not forget the motivation by which you've worked. God's about to bless his people. Plans formed long ago. We ask for the whole church, even those that are not here present, God. I pray everyone will enter into a new phase. Dawn, awaken! Awaken, dawn! Dawn, awaken! In the name of the Lord Jesus. Awaken! There's a new season, a new day, a new era. The old things are past, but what lies ahead is new. And you make all things new, God. And I thank you for a new day. Let a portal be opened. In the name of the Lord Jesus, dawn, awaken. Come on, say it. Say, dawn, awaken. Come on, awaken the dawn. Say, dawn, awaken. A new era is about to dawn upon us, church. And our disposition is, we are thoroughly grateful. We are thoroughly grateful. Tell someone Happy New Year. Don't wait. Come on. Just tell someone Happy New Year. There's a new year. We're not waiting for the 31st. We are saying we are in the new season, the new era already. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you know when? Yeah, give the Lord a clap offering. It's a new dawn. Happy New Year to you all. In fact, not Happy New Year. Happy New Dawn. Tell someone Happy New Dawn. I challenge you on the 31st when you're wishing everybody. Don't say Happy New Year, say Happy New Dawn. And they'll ask you, what? Pull out the scripture. Say, my thanksgiving, I will awaken the dawn. Hallelujah. Do you know when Israel was delivered from 430 years of Egyptian slavery? You know what God said to them? This month. Everyone say this month. God said to them, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. What he was saying is, don't govern your clock by the Egyptian calendar. As you exit Egypt, you start a new year. God reordered the calendar. So I want to encourage you, function by God's time clock. Amen. We are grateful. Amen.